Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God from the Old Testament reading for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This is God's Word. A couple of days ago, I was reading an online article written by Juan Williams. If any of you watch, look at my mom, she knows who Juan Williams is. He's the kind of alternative voice on Fox News Channel, right? You know, Fox News, generally everyone kind of speaks from the right. Juan speaks from the left. And he wrote an article about why it was still good to give thanks this 4th of July for what we have here in the United States. I thought that was a refreshing take to talk about the blessings that we have here in this nation. And because this Wednesday is the 4th of July, Independence Day, maybe you often take time to reflect on what it means to live here in this nation, to enjoy the freedoms that we do indeed enjoy. But maybe that's been a little bit harder to do lately. Maybe you think the country is just on a path towards destruction. Maybe you're of a mind that conservatives are driving us into the abyss, or that liberals are doing the exact same thing. Now, if you're worried at this moment that this is going to be a political sermon, relax. It's not. Yet we have a word of God that speaks to us here and now in the world where we live, because this word remains as relevant now for us, for people living here in the 21st century United States, as it was for people living in the 6th century BC when Jeremiah wrote our Old Testament reading. I want you to listen again to the opening words of our reading written by the prophet Jeremiah. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Have any of you ever heard that saying, those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it? There's some truth to that adage, and it's especially true when we think of Holy Scripture, where we are able to learn how God has intervened in history and therefore have confidence that he still intervenes in our world today. You see, the Bible is a book written in the context of history. It was written in a time and in a place to a specific people. And yet, even though the Bible was written in time, it has a timeless message. It speaks to us now as it spoke to them back then. So it benefits us to understand the history of God's people, because often in that history, we find ourselves. I want you this morning to consider the life and ministry of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was one of the Old Testament prophets. He's often referred to as the weeping prophet, because there's not a lot of good going on when Jeremiah ministers, and he's writing to people at a really, really bad time in Israel's history. Jeremiah was called to speak God's word to his people in some of the darkest days in the history of Israel. Several hundred years before Jeremiah, the whole kingdom had split in two. Do you think we're on a course to our nation just being split in half? No, that's happened before. That happened in Israel. The north split from the south. You had a king in the north and a king in the south. And God allowed the Assyrians to come in and conquer the northern kingdom. And the people were taken off into exile. And now, about 140 years later, the same thing was going to happen again to the southern kingdom. And Jeremiah witnessed it happen. He saw the Babylonians come in, take over the nation. He saw them in the year 587 BC destroy the city and destroy the temple, destroy the very place where God promised to be present with his people. Jeremiah was called to tell those people to repent. And they didn't. He was speaking God's word to a people that wanted nothing to do with him. That's Jeremiah. God sent Jeremiah to call his people to repent. And that's much of the message in the book of Jeremiah. God continued to call Israel, to call Judah, to turn from their sin and their wickedness, to follow the Lord God and trust in his love. But Judah did not repent. They continued in their wicked ways. Jeremiah was a preacher of God's word, and his congregation wasted away to nothing. All the church growth experts that have all their rules and precepts for how to grow the church, they would have considered Jeremiah a failure. The people were taken to exile. The kingdom was destroyed. What was left for Jeremiah was to lament what had once been. So Jeremiah has a second book of the Old Testament. He's the only one of the prophets of the Old Testament that has two books. The book named Jeremiah, and then the second book that comes after it called Lamentations. If you think that's a real upbeat read, think again. It's called Lamentations, lamenting, right? His sorrows and his hurt over what had become of God's chosen people. And yet, in the middle of all that sorrow and pain over what had been lost in Israel, Jeremiah writes in the middle chapter of his book this great expression of hope and confidence in the Lord. He said, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." In the very middle of Jeremiah's lamentations, his literally in the middle of the book, the third chapter out of five, five chapters which are almost all sorrow and lament and grief and heartache, in the very middle of it, Jeremiah writes of the steadfast love of the Lord. His love that never ceases. He writes of the greatness of God's faithfulness. What a lesson for us people who live in a world with oh so much to lament. Can we do even better than just singing a hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness"? Can we actually believe and confess that God is faithful and still doing what he promises he will do? Can we actually believe and confess in the middle of this chaotic world with so much hatred and division that God is still faithful? That the Lord is good to those who wait for him. When Jeremiah says it is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord, can we actually be quiet? Can we shut up for a moment to just trust that God is faithful and that, in the words of Jeremiah, for those who love God, I'm sorry, in the words of Paul, for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. You see, God works through history. He works, as I said earlier, in time. He's not just a God who sits off in heaven and does his thing without us being aware of it. He intervenes in human history and uses the events and the people of this world to accomplish his purposes. When Martin Luther sought to reform the church, everything lined up just perfectly for it to happen. In fact, 100 years before Luther, a guy named John Huss had sought to restore the gospel into the church, and he was put to death for it. But when Luther came, the emperor was reluctant to send his armies in to just seize Luther and put him to death. He needed to keep the empire unified. There was the threat of invaders to the east, the Turks. He couldn't risk upheaval in the empire. So the timing was perfect for Luther to speak the gospel and to share the gospel so that it would grow and spread throughout the world. In the first 300 years of the church, when it was against the law to practice Christianity, when Christians were the victims of torture and execution, did that stop the growth of the Christian message? No. On the contrary, it was actually in that time of persecution that the gospel of Jesus Christ spread like wildfire. In fact, the church has always grown when it's been persecuted. We heard a little bit of that in our epistle today when Paul talks about the offering of love that was taken up for the saints in need. And even though the church was being afflicted, nonetheless, the outpouring of love was great. God was still preserving his church. In the middle of the chaos, in the middle of the persecution, in the middle of hatred and division, God accomplished his purpose. Now, consider the most significant event of God intervening in human history. When he took on human flesh and lived among us as Jesus, the Christ, our Redeemer. He lived among us, walked among us, preached, taught, performed miracles. And when the authorities, the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, Pilate, when they were all opposed to him, God used their opposition to him to save us from our sin. God works among us. And the cross of Jesus Christ is proof of that. If you think somehow that we're all doomed because of what the president tweets or because of what protesters are doing or because of what people are saying to each other on Facebook, then, dear friends in Christ, repent. Repent of having doubted the one who is the author of history. Repent of doubting the one whose faithfulness is great. And take heart, my dear friends in Christ, that as surely as God restored Israel, which was destroyed in the time of Jeremiah, to bring forth a Savior for you and me, he will just as surely keep and preserve you. That cross on which your Savior died, its life-giving blood continues to pour forth for you today. That very blood shed 2,000 years ago washes over you. And thanks be to God, he is faithful. Great is his faithfulness. He is faithful to forgive you your sins. And you are indeed forgiven. He is faithful to give you eternal life. And it is yours now and always. No matter what transpires with border walls, immigration troubles, Supreme Court nominations, elections, fighting and divisions, God is faithful. He does not afflict from his heart, says Jeremiah, or grieve the children of men. He showers you with his love today and always. He will order the future just as surely as he has the past. Our Savior, who died upon a cross 2,000 years ago, remains the same Savior who was crucified for the people that lived 2,000 years ago, for the people that lived 500 years ago, and for you today. Because God stepped into history and took your sin upon himself and continues to forgive you here, now, and always. If you do stop during this next week, not on Wednesday, to reflect on the blessings that are upon our nation, then I invite you to above all other things, give thanks for this, that we have the Word of God and the freedom to hear it and speak it. We have the freedom to gather here in public. It's no secret that we are here gathered in worship of our triune God, hearing His Word, receiving His gifts. We're not hidden away. We gather to hear that Word. That Word that has power. That Word that Jesus spoke, Talitha Kumi, and brought a little girl, good as dead, to her feet in life. That Word which gives you the forgiveness of sins today and always. That Word which invites you to come forward and receive Christ's body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins. It's that Word which gives us the greatest freedom of all. Freedom from sin, death, and Satan. Freedom because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It never stops. And great is His faithfulness to do what He does best. Love you, forgive you, and receive you into His kingdom for now and always. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.